Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ. We're trying to get online here. We pray that you guys are hearing us. The internet has been up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We'll just it will connect you, but it's not allowing me to. Go ahead. Just going to start the broadcast. As normal, we always start, or as usual, we always start with a word of prayer. I believe in prayer. You can't believe in prayer and doubt at the same time. You have to believe in it. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come, Father God, believing and trusting your word above everything. Your word. We have declared your word, Father God, into this earth. And yeah, bear with me, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Going to see if this is working. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're just going to pick up where we left off yesterday. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you right now for all things are working together for our good. All things are working together based on your word. And we thank you for it. We give you the honor. You give the glory. Yes, you have any Father right now to illuminate this word. Those that need to hear it, they will hear it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. These are my blessings we ask in Christ's name. Boy, it takes you to pray. Everybody agree with this prayer, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, we're talking about God's promises. Over in 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, reads like this. It says, whereby are given unto us. Now you got to understand it's been given to us. And then you got to work for it. You don't have to go to church for it. You don't have to sell barbecue dinners for it. It's yours if you'll receive it. Because it's given to you don't mean it's yours. It's yours when you receive it. Whereby given unto us exceeding great precious promise, that by these ye may be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is about obtaining your divine nature. You know, the Bible says that we are new creatures over in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so you have to be in Christ, first of all, to receive this divine nature. And these promises that was given to us are not any kind of promises. They are, the Bible says, exceeding. And he said they great. So when I think about exceeding, my mind always go to extraordinary, unusual. It's unique. You understand? It's different. It's uncommon. It's not your average. Go beyond that. It's just not typical. You see? So it succeeds that. Being out of the ordinary, put it that way. Being out of the ordinary. So what God got for you is not no ordinary stuff. I believe I can get a couple of amen for that. See, remember, everything God does is good and very good. Let's not forget that, brothers and sisters. Let's not forget that ordinary. It's special. And when I think about exceeding promises that he had, I want you to pay attention. And he says great. When I think about great, I think about huge. I think about big. I think about mastering. I think about something great. It shows exception knowledge, shows experience. God giving us great and precious promises. The word precious, of great value and of high price, highly esteemed. So, it's great stuff. It's highly esteemed. God's promises, and they are for us. And that's what I like. I like the fact that they are for us, for those that believe. That's right. Yesterday, we were talking about some of the stuff that God had given us. One thing I want to make a note of, brothers and sisters, a lot of people think salvation ended at the cross. No, really, it just begun. Because when you think about it, after Jesus died, then the substitutionary work began. It didn't begin until after Jesus had resurrected, that all power was in his hand. That's when it was validated, for a better way of saying it. It was validated that all power was in his hand. It was after the resurrection. The book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, 22nd through the 24th verse, but it says, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. That word covenant, now remember, that's promise. We have a better promise than the Old Testament gave. The Old Testament was limited. They could only cover our sin. But Jesus' blood washes away our sin. Then after he washes away, he turns around and gives us a new life, a life like God. So he says, but so much was Jesus made a surety, we're going to get there, of a better covenant. Hallelujah. It was a better covenant. He says, and they truly were many priests. Hallelujah. Okay. There were truly many priests in that day. But the Bible says that they would not suffer to continue by reason of death, but by this man became continue ever, having unchangeable priesthood. Now let me tell you from yesterday's message and add that on to today's message, here's what was going on. The promise we have today in the new creation is guaranteed. Y'all hear this? Please hear this. It's guaranteed. Salvation is guaranteed. Jesus being your advocate is guaranteed. Jesus being Lord is guaranteed. So when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. See, he knew that God would definitely guide him and direct him, just like a shepherd. So we were talking about letting Jesus be your Lord. That's when you throw up both hands and surrender.
Yeah.
You surrender. That's what that means. Because at first, you know, I thought, okay, he's going to be Lord. Am I getting ready to get in bondage? The Lord said, no. He wants to take total control of your life. You know the reason some things haven't happened in your life? Because you haven't allowed Jesus to be Lord. The word Lord means master, ruler, controller. Let him control the situation. And if you don't give it to him, don't worry about it. And if you don't worry about it, don't give it to him. Can't do both of them now. You can't have it both ways. If he's truly your master, your Lord, you become the sheep and let him become the shepherd. You know, can you imagine the sheep telling the shepherd, oh, I don't want to go this way. I want to go that way. No, let him work all things together for your good. You know, a lot of times people be trying to work the thing. Don't you work it. Let him work it. That's his job. His job is to work all things together for your good. You know why? Because you love him. You love the Lord. So that's not your job. Hear me, dear heart. That's not your job to work anything. Your job is to be the sheep. When you surrender and say, Lord, I confess right now you are the shepherd of my life. I confess right now you are Lord over my life. And let me tell you something, because I was telling y'all a moment ago about once Christ was resurrected, that's when his ministry really took off. Boy, Jesus' ministry took off like you wouldn't believe. His ministry of being an intercessor. He is not only the mediator between God and man, but the moment that an unsaved man accepts him as savior or your savior, he also becomes his intercessor. Jesus interceded for you. And guess what? He hadn't stopped. He's still interceding for you right today. But that will make your heart real happy right there to know that, to know that he's interceding for you. The stuff you can't do, he got you. That's why John 11, the 11th chapter of St. John, 41st verse and the 42nd verse says, and Jesus looked up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me and knew that thou hearest me always. See, the Father hears Jesus. And because you're in Christ, he going to hear you. Because Jesus interceding for you. He got you. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, or come unto God, seeing he have ever lived to make intercession for them. He living for that. That's one of Christ's reason is to intercede. So here's a precious fact. That's why I like his precious promises. It's precious. You know, when something precious, you want to take care of. You ought to take care of the fact that he interceding for you. Don't take that lightly. Matter of fact, I don't know who I'm talking to now, but God said you need to use him as an intercessor. Don't worry about man in a man being, oh, come and pray with me. No, get to intercede for you. Because he always hears Christ. The Father always. That's what Jesus said in John 11:41. He always hears him. Did I tell you that he is your advocate? 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things have I written unto you that ye sin not, but just in case, if any man sins, we have an advocate. Now, why am I telling you this? Because the devil has a way of beating us up. Yeah, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to you. Don't let the devil beat you up any longer. Know that you have an advocate. I don't care what Joe Willie and Frank and Mary and all them and the bishop is. Now, forget what they say. You live by the word of God. That's where your answers are, in the word of God, not in some man prophecy. Your answer is in the word of God. So I just think this is so remarkable. This expression, it is wonderful ministry that he set at the right hand of the Father as the center Savior. So as a believer, the mediator, I have fellowship with God. And don't let folks fool you about this scripture. If Jesus says he forgave you, he forgave you. You don't have to go through all this other running through a building and flipping, making jumpy jacks and hollering and screaming and, oh, God, please. No, the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Man, you've got divine nature in you. God don't want you coming like no puppet. You got grace, which is one of your other promises that I didn't mention. Mm-hmm. So the heart just can't receive all the good stuff, God. Man, God is so good. Listen, brothers and sisters, I told you he was Lord. Remember, yesterday, the day before yesterday, I was talking about, but he's good. He's like a good shepherd. A good shepherd ain't finna let the sheep get by no running water, because it'll know, it'll overthrow it. All that wool get on that sheep, boom, that sheep gone. Don't you? If a shepherd got that much sense, God worked things together for you. There are places you want to go and you can't even go. There's things you want to do. God won't even let it happen. He ain't letting it happen for you. You might as well just sit back and ride, baby. You're a sheep. You ain't no shepherd. I don't care what your title is. The Lord is your shepherd. He's your master. He's making sure if you know what? Your attitude should be, if God don't feed me, I ain't eating.
All right.
You didn't hear that yet. If God doesn't do it, it just won't be done. Yes, I'm going to wait patiently on it because I've already asked him. Now, that's only if you've asked him. If you haven't asked him, then you need to go ahead on and ask him. He is not only our high priest, our savior, our intercessor, our advocator. He is Lord. And there's another priceless ministry that we need to really take a look at. He is the surety of the new covenant. And because you're part of the new covenant, he's guaranteed to be your Lord. Now, well, I got some paper for you now. I got some receipts. Better get a couple from y'all. Where's that at? Well, here you go. But this is Hebrews 7, verses 18-19. For there is very a disannul of the commandment going before, for the law made nothing perfect. See, the law made nothing perfect, but the being in of a better hope, did by the which he draw nigh unto God. So by a single stroke, he was cleansed up the issue of the first covenant. So when Jesus died, he told the Father, it's finished. What was finished was the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now, the New Covenant began. And this one guaranteed. He said, this one is key, brothers and sisters. He said, for what the law, it was just a shadow. It was a shadow of good things. Oh, preach, I'm trying to do the best I can. Listen to what he said. He said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. So you folks that are living by the law and this and that, let me tell you, it was just a shadow. It wasn't a real thing. You rather have the shadow or you rather have the real thing? Would you rather have the shadow of orange that hanging on a tree or rather you rather have the orange? Let me answer that for you. Would you rather have the shadow of an apple that's hanging on the tree or would you rather have that? I help you out. You rather have the apple. You rather have the real thing. In the New Covenant, that's what we have. We have the real thing. The Bible says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, but since Christ came, is here. He says, and not the very image of the thing can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, making them come thereunto perfect. He said, for them would they have not ceased to be offered, but because that the worship once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there was a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls or goats would take away sin. Isn't that awesome? They just covered your sin. So if you want to go back to that old way of doing things, if you want to go back to that old way of believing in that the law, the Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And how you get that? By faith through grace. That's how that works. Listen, brothers and sisters, the blood of a bull and goats and the ashes of a heifer, that was temporary. When Christ came, he did away with that kind of sacrifice. He used his own blood. Now, the question is, can you believe in it? Can you believe that Christ took care of your sin problem? Or are you still trying to wrestle with that? Are you still trying to be your own advocator? Are you still trying to be your own Lord, your own master? Are you still trying to be your own intercessor? You're going to go before, or are you going to let Christ do it? Christ is our mediator, brothers and sisters. I read this over in Hebrews 9 and 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Newsflash. He obtained eternal redemption. So guess who got the prize? Guess who got this stuff, man? Christ has it. That's why it's important to be in Christ. Don't assume now, because you joined the church, you in Christ. Don't assume because you read your Bible, you in Christ. Don't live on no assumption now. But Christ have all the goodies. He have all the precious promises. He has them. So when you're in Christ, you're living by his grace, and you're living by faith, and you're living by the word of God. Those are the three main ingredients. You got to have the word of God to live by. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. And then you're saved by faith, and by grace through faith. Remember Romans 10:19. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord Jesus. Y'all didn't hear that, bitch. The Lord Jesus. In other words, you just made him Lord. You just made him your shepherd. Done this, then it at that time that Jesus take over your life. And you said, Father God, I'm in Christ now. Because I accept you as being my Lord, my master, my ruler. No bishop, no anybody. You are that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
See, those gifts is to help to edify the body of Christ, help build us up, to give us an encouraging word, to lead us and direct us in the green pastures. That's what a good shepherd does. He directs us to the word of God. But Hebrews 9:12, and I'm about to be done here, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in to the holy place, having obtained. Man, y'all need to hear that, man. He has your eternal life, but you got to get it from him. You can't get it from, you got to get it from him. That's who has it. That's who holding your eternal life. It's Christ. And did I tell you, that's what this ought to be about anyway. This whole thing ought to be about your eternal life. That's God's perspective. Oh, how do you know that's God's perspective? Because I read it. That's I know. That's God's perspective. It's eternal life. Why do you think he sent Jesus? So you can have eternal life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. But why did he do that? So you could have eternal life. That's why we have Colossians 3:1. That's God's perspective, that you have eternal life. 1 Peter 1:23. That's God. That's why God got you born again, so you could get like him. See, you didn't have to do nothing but surrender. That's all you got to do. You got to surrender. That's not hard. I tell people all the time, don't be afraid to throw up your hands. Don't be afraid to speak the word of God. Salvation's in agreeing with the word of God. When you raise your hand, I mean, I don't care. Just don't do it while you're driving. Put it to the side of the road. Or go in the bathroom, go in the room. Go where you at. Where you at? Stop throwing your hands up. And somebody asks you what you're doing, you tell, hey, I just surrendered to God. I told him I want him to be Lord in my life. If the police pull you to the side, you throw your hands up. To put them up, and you don't have no problem. And you won't do that for the Lord. Go ahead on and throw your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender. I repent, Lord, for not truly seeing your perspective. You know, our perspective should be Colossians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, he changed us into that. God hadn't changed, brothers and sisters. I know you've heard a lot of sermons, but God's message is the same. He made us in his image, after his likeness. He hadn't stopped that. It's all been a process. I don't care about you seeing. He had an answer for that. Christ was the answer. See? You already knew that. But I think each and every one of you all believe that they are Wednesday. Y'all be sure to tune in tomorrow. We're going to make sure that we're clear and we're able to see you guys and be able to hear from you. We'd like love to hear from you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. I know you're thankful for a lot of things. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give him thanks. Give him thanks that you was able to wake up. Give him thanks you was able to put your right foot in your right shoe and your left one in your left one, and you're able to raise your hand and praise him. Give him thanks for that. Just thank him for everything. The Bible says in everything. If you got a job, if you got a piece of job, give him thanks. If you got a husband, you're talking about how no good he is, and all he got is overalls, thank God for the overalls. If you got a wife and she won't cook, but she look cute, thank God for a cute wife. If you got a friend,
This is mental. Just be thankful. Because God done gave you everything you need. Just be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. So tomorrow, we'll see you all.